previously on the Wilson Rush podcast.
I went to one Pistons game last year. They actually were playing the Bucks, and Brandon Jennings was killing them in his sleep. So I think it's better to have him in the jersey shooting for you versus against you.
The worst quarterback in the league last year, statistically. He was the worst. And then you put the fumble running into the guy's butt and fumbling on top of that. Maybe Rex said, hey, I want to go with Sanchez. And the GM was like, I'm not watching that again.
You want to talk? If y'all really want to talk Tony Romo, fellas, to me, one of the worst quarterbacks in our league. I just personally do not like this guy. He hasn't gotten it done. You know, he's gotten extended for all of this money. He went ahead and broke Troy Aikman's franchise record in passing. I can't remember someone making such a great milestone or an accomplishment, and me just not really appreciating it, man.
Most good leaders, in my opinion, put smarter people around them to help them make decisions. But then you got other leaders that don't want anybody input. They don't want anyone. They don't want anybody input on the draft. They don't want any input on the quarterback, on the coach. And I just think that's the type of leader he is.
DJ Clips, Rev City, let's go. The Wilson Rush Podcast. With your host, Wilson Rush. Also with T-Lib, Vaughn Wilson, and C-Rush. What up, Detroit? 7 miles. Rev City, your world. DJ Clips. We the best, the chemist music group. The Rush Wilson Podcast starts.
Yes, sir. Wilson Rush Podcast back at it again. I got to be honest, that DJ Clips and Rev City, that just never gets old to me. We got C. Rush back from Amsterdam. What's going on, C. Rush?
Back off vacation, man. Feeling like $1 million today. How you feeling?
I'm good, man. I can't complain, man. Beautiful BC living up to his name today. It's a beautiful August summer day. Just smelling football in the air. T. Will, how you doing, man? You good?
I'm good, fine. Just sit back chilling. Got a dead period here in Michigan in high school sports, man. Just sitting back, spending some time with the fam because as of Monday, man, this thing is on and popping, baby.
Yes, sir. Good luck to Southeastern this year, and we expecting big things from you. Well, all right, we obviously have a good one today. We're going to talk about Greg Oden's impact on the Heat. We're going to talk about Johnny Football's situation now in the news again. He may be ruled ineligible because he allegedly took benefits for signing autographs. So we'll get to that. And we also want to talk about Oregon's coach. They're starting in the preseason top 10. Expectations are high. OC goes to become the head coach and the expectations are high. So is he on the hot seat? So we'll weigh in on that. And of course, we have to talk about Riley Cooper. Then we'll start with that one first. But T. Will, you ready to start balling?
I'm ready to ball right now, big dog.
Let's do it then. All right, let's talk about Mr. Riley Cooper, and obviously I have questions for the panel on this situation, but we just want to leave it up in the air, and T. Will, we'll start with you and just give your thoughts on this situation, but before we go to that, I was actually preparing for the show yesterday, and I want everyone to know this, I was actually preparing for the show, and I was trying to get an audio of him saying this, but it disgusted me. Really again. And I could not play that again on our show. Everyone knows what he said, and I refuse to play that on this show. But we just want to give our thoughts on this situation. So T. Will, take it away and tell us what your thoughts of Riley Cooper.
First off, just this whole situation I think it's a sad situation because there's people like this in the world. But first off, I just have to stand my ground and say I do think he was wrong. I'm just having a hard time believing his apology. Because to me, Fine, there's a difference between being sorry for what you have done and being sorry for what being sorry when you get caught. And I think he's sorry because he got caught saying it. You know, and that's why I'm having a hard time really believing his apology. And like you said, when you watch that video, Fine, nothing about it stands out or even makes you think that he hasn't said that word before. You know, it came out so fluent. And the thing that gets me is that there's about 100 words that he could have used in the place of that word. And to this day, Riley Cooper would still be the unknown guy that he should have been. But instead, you know, he's the headline in every sport and more than sports, medias. He's a headline, you know, across the country right now for this incident. You know, from that one video, man, I will say that my stand on him is I do think he's a racist. You know, the way he said it and the more I watch that video, it just sinks in more and it really just pisses me off. You know, in Eagles camp, you know, to me, they didn't show him any love, you know, once it first came out. They showed him in Eagles camp. He was standing on the sideline by himself. And anybody who knows football will tell you, when you're in camp, high school, college, professional, there's always something to do. There's constant movement. You should never be alone. You should never be on the sideline by yourself. You know, you're going to have teammates next to you. You guys are going to be taking mental reps. You guys are going to be doing something. But these guys weren't even talking to him. You know, and to me, that just shows that locker room, you know, they were making a statement. And a few of those guys came out and said, you know, they didn't appreciate it, and they took offense to it. And I'm glad they did. I'm glad they didn't give us a quick quote and just try to get rid of the media. But they really said, you know, that, you know, they did not appreciate that. And kudos to those men for saying that. And I don't think Goodell, he's going to do anything. You know, it's not surprising in my eyes, but the thing I will say is every time this guy Riley lines up at receiver, he's going to be reminded of it because there's I think 100% of African American cornerbacks in this league. So every time he steps up, every city he goes in, somebody's going to remind him. And I'm gonna tell you this right now: if they call something and this guy has to go over the middle, I'm gonna tell you right now, it's gonna be some defensive backs and some linebackers that's not even gonna try to go for the pick. It's gonna be 1980 all over again, and it's gonna be Benny Blades, somebody trying to take somebody's neck off. So I don't condone, I don't like what he did, you know. And to me, it's really not genuine because I really think that he apologizing because he got caught.
Yeah, see, Rush, before we get into the question piece, just go ahead and give us your thoughts on this situation.
It's disgusting to me, you know, in this day and age, to whereas he didn't say it at a public forum of every nationality there. He said it in a forum where he was comfortable at. The African Americans there were, I'm guessing, were just the workers, and that's who he said it to. So just those facts alone push you in the mind state of his mind. You know, the black workers, he's saying what he said. That's disgusting. So it lets me know that, oh, this is how you really feel. You in your element, you're comfortable. You know, you don't even think you're being recorded. So his apology was well crafted by whoever wrote it, but do I believe it's from his heart? No. You know, it's certain stuff that you can say and be apologetic for, but it's certain stuff that we feel and that I feel like as a man, that's coming from his heart. The way he said it. You know, and like T. Will said, those players who said, hey, I can play with them, but I don't respect them. Absolutely. You know, even in our line of work, if somebody were to say it to us, I would feel the same way. You know, and it's just a level of disrespect, a level of closet hatred that people have. It's sad that we would all be deaf to it if somebody didn't have their camera. So you're always on a platform for one when you're an athlete, but for two, I'm glad it got exposed because now we know the type of person that you are. We don't know what thoughts you're having, you know, when you're in that locker room amongst your peers and your players. You know, if it was a lesser offense, or if he not even bring race into it, if he did something else, you know, that's forgivable. But when you're speaking from something that people cannot change their race, their gender, their whatever, and you're speaking hatred upon that, That's what really irritates me as a black man.
Yeah, it was very disgusting. And you know what, T-Will? I mean, both of you guys bring up some good point, but T-Will, I think you hit the nail right on the head. It's a difference from being sorry for what you did and being apologetic for the actions that you created. Or it's a difference, you know, the difference is apologizing because you got caught. Now, this situation happened in June. Why didn't you apologize after the situation? I'm pretty sure there were people with you and they said, hey, you know, you let the N-bomb slip last night. You know, forget, don't wait till the tape come out. Make your organization, talk to the Philadelphia Eagles and let them know what you did. Make a public apology and then maybe, just maybe, we can forgive you. But after you got caught, and like you said, C-Rush, I mean, somebody wrote a really good apology and, you know, people are comparing the apology to the baseball player that was just suspended a couple weeks ago, Ryan Braun. They were comparing it and they were saying Braun really didn't care, but this guy, apology was heartfelt. Would it have been heartfelt if he didn't get caught? That is my question. I don't see how anyone can listen to this apology and still not be offended. So let's get into the questions with this situation, T-Will. And I know out of everyone on the panel playing sports, I would say I would be the one that had the most diversity on the teams that I've played on. But T-Will, I want to put yourself in a player's shoe. How do you play with this guy after this word was said? And C-Rush brings up a good point. Yes, you got to get a check. You got to make money. But we all know, T-Will, football, even at NFL level, it's about brotherhood, it's about togetherness, and it's about winning. How can you go to battle with this guy, T-Will?
It's tough because it's all about, you know, your brothers having your back, you know, when you're on that football field. 11 guys, they have to play together. They have to have each other's back. And to know in the back of your mind that this situation happened, or your brother, a guy that you consider to be your brother, is capable of doing something like this, it's rough. It's rough. And that's why, in my personal opinion, for the Philadelphia Eagles to maximize their team and to get to the furthest point together, they have to let him go. They have to cut him, because as long as he's around, it's going to be this distraction for the 16 game regular season, you know. And if they are fortunate enough to make the playoffs, it's going to be the same thing in the playoffs. He's going to hear it even more in every stadium that he goes in. Heck, I think he's going to hear it in his stadium. You know, those fans in Philly are, I mean, they get after it. So it's tough. It is 100% tough to say you trust and rely on someone like that. And I think if people really do say that, I think some of that is a false sense of security. I don't really think that you really can, unless you have those same beliefs as him. Now, if you have those same beliefs, it's easy to trust him, you know. But at the same time, I just don't. I think for this team to move forward and to be this true brotherhood, they have to part ways with him.
Now, T-Will, now that's a good point. Now, do you think, because I don't think they're going to cut him. I think they had some injuries at the wide receiver position, and I don't think they will cut him. And I just got to be honest, that's my honest opinion. I don't think they will cut him. But, T-Will, if they don't cut him, this cloud obviously isn't going anywhere. It obviously isn't going anywhere. So would you say that the Eagles condone this type of behavior if they keep him, or would you say, okay, it still is a business? How would you view this personally?
Well, personally, I have to think that the Eagles take it as it's a business. You know, Chip Kelly's in. He wants to prove that he can win in this league right now. Okay, he understands that he's lost one of his best receivers to an ACL for the season. So now Riley Cooper's the next guy in line. So now do I get rid of him and play one of these undrafted free agents that we signed? They have 7 of them in camp. So do I play one of those guys? Chip Kelly wants to win. You know, I really think he's a careless kind of guy. You know, I care less about it. Okay, it happened. Let's apologize. Let's move forward. You know, he wants to win football games. That's what it's about to him. And I really do think it's a business when it comes to that. I don't think Chip Kelly's going to make the decision of, you know what, he did that. You know what, let's get rid of him and move and go from there. I think Chip Kelly wants to win, and he wants to win with Riley Cooper because that gives him the best chance to win as of right now.
Now, see, Rush, I want to bag it up a little bit. And I just want to ask you, I mean, how do you I know you went to an HBC school. For those of you who don't know, that's historical black college. But how would you as a player, see, Rush, deal with one of your teammates, one of your so-called brothers in the locker room saying something like this?
It's a tough situation because every locker room I've been in or dugout, I've always been the majority race, you know, and I don't come from a background of a hatred of hate. You know, I was taught to love everybody, excluding race or whatever. But in that locker room, you got to trust your brothers. And if you hear somebody talking bad about your race to you, how can that still be your brother? How can you still go to battle with him? How can you still trust for him? You know, in high school, I went to a predominantly black high school. We had other races on our baseball team. In college, we had other races on the football team. We had a white quarterback at an HBCU. So it's an acceptance thing, you know, and it's not even acceptance. It's being a genuine human being, you know, being a person that's not looking at the race, not looking at anything. So it's going to be difficult for him in his situation in this locker room, because you know why? These are grown men who've seen this before. You know, we're not too far removed from blacks being able to vote. Now when it's made light of now about race, it always hits a nerve. Race always hits a nerve. I was told this from a long time ago. Race and politics and religion always hit a nerve, and that's the truth. So he's going to have a difficult time dealing with this.
I mean, this is a tough one. But not T. Will. We want to change hats now, and we want to be the coach, and not necessarily be Chip Kelly. I mean, obviously, this is a tough situation to be in. There's no manual to say how do you do with your team using a racial slur. But not just the coach of that team, T. Will, just in general as the coach of a team. I mean, how do you handle this situation?
Well, it's one of those uncomfortable situations, Fine. It's 100% uncomfortable. So I almost want to say I'm not going to say there is no right way to handle it, but I think you just kind of have to just separate yourself from that situation, period. And it all goes back to me. I think Riley Cooper should be cut by the Philadelphia Eagles. And realistically, you know, it'll speak volumes on other teams, because now we'll see if he get picked up by another team. So I think the quickest way to separate yourself from it, I mean, get away from it, is just to separate yourself completely from it. And sometimes it may be tough to do, but at the end of the day, it's the right thing to do.
See, I gotta be honest with you, and I've been saying this since it happened. This guy better hope that the Eagles, they don't cut him. Like, he has to hope and pray they don't cut him, because I don't think it's possible for you to sign this guy. Because now that cloud comes over your team. Like, okay, you saw the video, so obviously you don't care. You want a wide receiver, so you take him. So I think his best personal move is to beg and plead and say, guys, please don't cut me. But, T, well, I want to ask you this. Like, we all know Chip Kelly. You know, he's Caucasian. We all know that. But, T, well, I'm going to be honest with you. I want you to be honest here. I mean, if Mike Tomlin was the coach of this team, is Riley Cooper still on the team?
No, absolutely not. Riley Cooper would have been looking for a job. So he would have definitely been out of training camp. All those cameras would have been out of my training camp. And I'm not saying it because Mike Tomlin is a black coach. I'm saying it because Mike Tomlin is proven in this league that he can win and he'll do the right thing. He's made great decisions. And I think in this situation, separating yourself from Riley Cooper is the correct decision to make. And I think Mike Tomlin would have made that decision. It's a no-brainer.
Now, see, Rush, I want to go back to you and ask you the coach's question, because, you know, there is no manual to handle this situation. And obviously, see, Rush, Chip Kelly was caught off guard with this situation. So how, as a coach, do you handle this? Do you handle a diverse locker room?
Well, you have to sever ties. And I know he wants to win, but that's going to be a problem in this locker room, because it's just building up. It's players who are biting their tongues right now, not speaking on this, you know. And it's not just – if we hear the rumblings, you got to believe. Is deeper than that. Like T. Will said, if he's standing alone at training camp, you know, that's a telltale sign right there. You know, Chip Kelly has to figure out, for one, is it anybody else I can sign? Granted, football is a business, and like you said, I don't believe he'll be cut. But if he wants to not lose his locker room already, because he's walking into a grenade right now. I mean, he didn't expect to walk into this, a quarterback battle, losing one of your top receivers, and then this happening. So right now, he's looking for some type of damage control, and that's why they did the undisclosed fine, and they tried to nip it in the bud real quick. But when you're not nipping something normal in the bud. You're not nipping a DUI in the bud. You're not nipping a possession of marijuana. You're nipping I'll fight every you-know-what in here. And that's deeper, and it impacts more people. It impacts basically the majority of your team. So now this is like in one football movie that Denzel Washington was in, it's the opposite. Now the majority is black in the locker room. So now how are you going to handle this? So he has to figure out what's better for his career. He can't worry about Riley Cooper anymore. He has to worry about himself. So he has to figure out what's the best thing for him to do, and he had to do it quick.
Yeah, that's that undisclosed amount that you alluded to, C. Rush. I got to be honest with you. I've been thinking about this all week. I want to know how much it is. How much, you know, saying the N-word, how much are you fined for that? I would love to know the going rate for that. I would like to know that me personally, but I think that's a great thing that they definitely don't disclose that, because then people would be saying, hey, that's not enough, because I would love to know that amount so we could discuss that as well. But, C-Rush, let me ask you this, though. Now, you know, there's a lot of athletes, man, over the years, and it's going to continue to happen. They're going to do goofy things. I mean, that's athletes. They've done some goofy things. But C-Rush, they come back. They win. You know, Tiger Woods is just somebody just off the brain that you think about. He had a great weekend. He won. You know, sponsors are looking good and things like that. And, you know, but C-Rush, does he ever get past this?
No, he doesn't, and it's a couple reasons why. He's expendable. He's not Tiger Woods. He's not bringing in billions for a company. He's not Michael Jordan. He's not Kobe Bryant. He's not bringing in billions and billions and billions. Even Lance Armstrong, to a certain extent, Nike held on to him long as they could. They even kept him like 2 days after he came clean. If they can make money off you in a certain way, it's a business. They will keep you around. He's just Riley Cooper. You know, we'll find a receiver for him. You know, the personal transgressions between Kobe and his wife and Tiger Woods and his wife had nothing to do with the race barrier. You know, even Lance Armstrong, that had to do with a personal transgression that he brought upon himself using steroids or whatever he used. This is on a broader scale. This is how you really feel. And he's showing that how he feels. So if this was Tom Brady, you have it. That's a different can of worms. But you're just Riley Cooper, you know. So he'll be out the league before we remember this again.
See, Will, I gotta throw the same question at you, because I mean, we're very forgiving when it comes to athletes when they get back on the court, and you know, we follow these stories and things like that. But T. Will, I'll be honest, I personally don't see him ever getting over this. I don't care if his career is ended today or if it goes on for another 5 to 10 years. I don't see how this is ever swept under the rug, T. Will.
No, I don't think it'll ever be swept under the rug, and I don't think it's going to go away. But at the same time, to him personally, I think he'll get over it. I mean, and that's my personal opinion. I think he'll get over it because I think this is truly who he is. So I think as soon as we stop making it a big deal, he won't make it a big deal. You know, but as far as his professional career goes and wherever he goes from here on out, and he can retire from football and be an insurance salesman, it doesn't matter. He may have some problems selling to black people. I mean, I don't know. Wherever he goes after this, it's going to follow him. It's going to follow him, and I just really do believe that the way he said it, it's something about the way he said it, fellas. You know,
right.
The way it came out of his mouth, I think this is truly who he is. So I think as soon as everyone else stop making it a big deal, he's going to stop making it a big deal, because this is who he is. This is not the first time he said it, guys. I guarantee you that.
To you, right. And that's why I'm telling you, that's why I did not play it on the show, because I heard it when it first happened. I heard it. But then I listened to it again, and I agree with you 100%. The way he said it, I said, there's no way the Wilson Rush podcast is airing that. There's just no way. The way he said it was unbelievable. And so
But anyway, T. Will, this is what I want to ask you. After practice today, you know, he said, I want people to judge me from my future actions. What the heck does that mean?
I don't know. I mean, I guess from this point forward, judge him from not knowing that he said the N-word. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. They may break training camp and may go have a few drinks, and he may just be chilling in his basement with a few of his buddies and use the N-word. I don't know. I mean, don't worry about it. I don't like to judge people. You know, I'm not the guy to judge people. It's not my job to judge people. To me, it's only one person that judges people, you know, and that's the Lord. So I'll leave that to them, and he doesn't have to worry about me judging him. I can tell you that much.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a tough one. See, Rush, I want you to weigh in on that quote. That's what he said. Judge him by the future, as we're supposed to just erase what was said.
That makes no sense to me. You know, we're judging you for what you said. You know, you can't recreate yourself in 1 week. You know, this happened in June, and you didn't tell anybody. And now you say, hey, don't judge me for what I used to be. You're still a racist. You know, it's going to come out flat out and say it, because like T. Will said, the way he said it, it had a look of evil in it. So I can't, like, if you say it again, am I supposed to rejudge him again? Or I don't know what his angle is in this, on how he wants to be judged. I can only judge you by what you've done and what you've shown me. So I'm not sure what he wants the public or the African American party to look at, or whoever else to look at, because we can only go by what he said.
Now, I gotta be honest with you guys on this one. I think people confuse a little bit with judging in reality. If you punch your wife in the face, you're a woman beater. You know, if you use racial slurs, people are gonna call you racist. I don't think that's judging somebody. I think that's proof. We can Google it right now and pull it up on YouTube. I don't think that's judging. I think that's reality, and I think people get that confused. I mean, you can't say things like that. And like T. Will said, the way he said it, there's no way that I can believe, and I could be wrong because I don't know the guy, but how am I supposed to believe the way you said it, that was the first time in your life that you used that word? I don't understand how I'm supposed to believe that, the way it fluently came out, the way it came out with so much hatred and malice. I'm supposed to believe that, oh, he had one too many, and that's the first time he's ever used that word. And so I don't think anyone can be accused of judging when it's a reality. I don't think we can be accused of that. But T. Will, before we get off, I just want to make sure that when we close this, it's closed, and you know that that no one else has anything else to say. Are you done, or you got something to add?
Just a tad bit, and I hate that we're spending a lot of time on the way he said it, but we kind of have to, you know. Just think about it: a 2-year-old, or let's say a child. A child cusses. They know they're not supposed to cuss. Okay, so when you hear them say that first cuss word, it's kind of like man, you know, it didn't even sound right coming out. You know, but a kid that's been around for a while, 15, 16 year old, that's been cussing for a few years, you hear that kid cuss, and it's like, okay, he talks like this. This is who he is. And that's what I get from Riley Cooper. The way that thing came out, he's been doing this for a while. That wasn't the first time, you know, he dropped the N-bomb. And I tell you, you know, here at the Wilson Rush Podcast, fine, you're right. I'm glad we didn't play that clips, because it doesn't deserve the attention that we would have given it.
Exactly, T. Well, and I was going to play it, but see, I got to be honest with everybody, T. When it first happened, I heard the censor, like, beep, beep, you know, I heard that. So, to be honest with you, it didn't sound as bad. But for some reason, I don't know what the difference, what my search was, T, but I found the unedited version. And it was like, it's amazing what bleeping does. Like, you watch a movie or you watch something, they bleep it out, and you say, well, I know the word anyway. But that for the first time in my life, without hearing the bleeping and knowing what he said, wow, I'm like, wow, I see why people bleep things. Like, it's a whole different situation when you hear that. And there's no way I could play that on the show. But see, Rush, you got something to add before we move on?
No, I'm tired of talking about him.
Exactly. All right. So let's move on here, C. Rush, and let's start with you on this one. We want to talk about the Oregon football program. Just got $1 million facility. Looks great. Hot tubs, man. It's beautiful. But the thing is, though, C. Rush, I mean, Chip Kelly's not there anymore. And they're putting a lot of money into this program, and they're getting a lot of money out of the program as well, I should say. Now, should Mark Helfrich come in on the hot seat, C-Rush?
Nah, I don't believe he should, and here's why. You know, if he comes in and keeps the status quo, maybe doesn't do his own thing too much, but keeps what he learned up under Chip Kelly and adds his own stuff as well, then they'll be good. Chip came in for one season, was the OC, and from 09 till last year was the head coach. You know, and he brought in Coach Mark to be his OC and quarterback coach. So he's working with him night and day. Like they're spending more time than they're spending with their wives. You know, so he knows. He's not a fool. I don't believe he's a fool. Just from watching their spring game, the tempo's basically the same. You know, the team is the same. So they're going to be expected to obviously compete for a national championship. And this year, they will be competing because that Pac-12 is still down. There's a couple good teams up there, and he has a good roster coming back. So we won't know if he's on a hot seat till maybe 2-3 years down the road. But coming into this first year, he should be fine. He's been in that system for the past 4 or 5 years up under Chip Kelly, and now, bam, he's walking right into a Porsche. You know, it's like getting your driver's license and you're not getting a 1984 Crown Victoria like I got. You're getting a Porsche. So as long as he maintains it, he'll drive away nicely.
Now, you bring up some good points. Now, I'm going to throw this to T-Will because I'm going to be honest. I can't wait to hear what T-Will's got to say about this because I totally disagree with you, C-Rush. I think you bring up some good points. You know, he learned under his wing. But the Oregon fans and the Oregon administration, in my opinion, don't care. Like, that's nice stuff, but they want to see results. If this guy wins 7 games, I don't think he'll be the coach the following year. I really don't. I mean, it's too much money in this program. The jerseys. They got 100 different jerseys. That beautiful facility. T-Will, I mean, am I wrong? I mean, you agree with C-Rush. Where are you at on this issue?
I couldn't disagree more with C-Rush. He is 100% on the hot seat. Okay? Now, not just this season. Let him go out and lose the first game of the season. Okay? And it'll be said right then and there that he's on the hot seat. But my thing is this right here. Yes, he has the X's and O's and things like that, but Chip Kelly was more than an X and O guy. Chip Kelly was a leader. He was a great manager. You know, he had some leadership qualities and things like that. So he brought more to Oregon than just the high tempo and the X's and O's side of it. So I don't know if I don't know too much about Coach Mark to know that. I know he's going to step right in and he's going to, you know, manage it a certain way, or, you know, he's going to display certain leadership skills, or he's going to run a program in a certain way, because it's more than the X's and O's. You know, is what is he going to implement outside of football? You know, is he going to change some things? We don't know if he's going to keep some things the same. Is he going to try to create his own identity? So it's a lot of hidden variables there. But at the same time, guys, you have to understand this. He's on the hot seat because let's say they go 6-6, 7-5, 8-4-ish, depending on what the four losses are. But this guy might be out of there. He may be out of there because the expectation now at this university for football is so much higher. Think about this, guys. When Dean Smith left North Carolina, a great program, you know, they went through a few coaches after that because they couldn't hit the mark Dean Smith did or put that program back on top until they have the guy that's there now. Okay, when Coach K leaves, it's going to be Steve Wojciechowski. He's going to be on the hot seat as soon as he takes over that program. You know, if that's the guy to take it over, it's just the nature of the beast. You know, if Nick Saban left tomorrow, the next guy in line is going to be on the hot seat. That's what happens in great programs. And these coaches, they should be up for that challenge, because when you take over a great program, you have to expect a lot of everyone expects great things from it. So there's a lot of downside to it, because if you're not winning right off the bat, you're going to catch a lot of flack.
Okay, I agree with you, T-Will, but I want to be fair, and I want to allow C-Rush to respond. And the reason why, because C-Rush, at the beginning, you said right off the bat, these guys expect a national championship. They expect national championship. This guy wins 7 or 8 games. I don't see how they can say, oh, well, that's okay. So I'll let you respond, C-Rush.
Well, that's the expectation, but you're asking me what I feel. I don't feel he's on the hot seat because I believe they're going to be very successful this year. And to bring up some points, when Mike Bellotti left the program, they brought in Chip Kelly, a 1-year offensive coordinator there, who was the OC at New Hampshire. So the same questions probably arose when Chip Kelly was there. So you can't just throw stones at this man because the great Chip Kelly left. Yes, it's a reputable program now, and it wasn't to this stature before Chip and Coach Mark got there. It was a high quality school, but you're right. Chip Kelly did put this school on a national map. They got more national recognition, you know, but I don't believe he's on the hot seat for this year because you know why? I believe that Chip left this program in good hands. Maybe not with the other stuff, paying for player stuff, but you know what? I believe he left this program wouldn't be, they wouldn't went outside the program if he didn't trust this. You know, this has his Chip Kelly's stamp, his thumbprint over this program. So with this roster, if he just comes in and does the same stuff Chip does, or even if he does add his own stuff, you know, we gotta trust that he's gonna be a good coach to do this. Chip came in and changed some stuff that Mike Bellotti changed. So, and that was a successful program. So we don't know. It's variables. You asked me if I believe he's gonna be on the hot seat. No, I don't believe so, because I believe they will have a successful season this year. And the expectation is Pasadena or bust.
Now, see, Rush, now I don't know what you have for lunch today, baby. But hold up. Now, I don't have the records right in front of me. And when I go back to T-Will, I hope he looks up what Coach Bellotti has done. Now, see, Rush, the program wasn't even close. It's not even close.
No, if you listen, I said Chip Kelly put him on a national pedestal. I'm not saying they're not coming in the Toledo. You know, they weren't a terrible program, but Chip Kelly, you're right. He did put them on the national map. So what I believe is that he's not leaving them in bad hands. He's leaving them to somebody he trusts, somebody that he brought in. If you bring me in as your assistant coach and you leave it for greener pastures and I'm your right hand guy, I'm with you all the time, I would trust myself. And with the endorsement of Chip Kelly, they should trust him too. And I trust Chip Kelly.
Yeah, but see, Rush, as we all know, we do know how coaches work. Even if a guy isn't ready for the job, you know, the guy that's going off, as you say, the grass being greener on the other side, a lot of coaches go ahead and say, well, this guy's ready. And truth of the matter is, it's his boy, and he's not ready for the job. But, T-Will, I want to let you back in because I think it's night and day. I'm not saying he took over, you know, the Our Lady of the Arts. I'm not saying Chip Kelly did that. But what I'm saying is I don't even think the program is comparable. People talk about Oregon. Nobody talked about Oregon before Chip Kelly was there, T-Wheel.
They absolutely didn't. And the one thing I want to make clear, C-Rush, is that I'm not saying it's this guy in particular that's on the hot seat. I don't care who came in after Chip Kelly. Whatever coach comes in next is on the hot seat. It just so happens to be him. You know, from where this program is now and the expectations of it, whoever was the next coach after Chip Kelly was going to be on the hot seat. I think that's fair to say, because anybody who comes in and let's say, like I said, they go six and six or 7-5, you can best believe they're one and done. They're one and done because the boosters of Oregon, the guy who invented Nike, Phil Knight. It's going to be pressure on these guys. Hey, look, we need to win, and we need to win right now. You know, we got a great thing going. Look, we had one bad season. Get this guy out of here. Get somebody that's proven in, and let's keep it going. So, I mean, he definitely has his resume looks pretty good, fine. I mean, he GA'd at Oregon, you know, was a quarterback coach at Boise, you know, quarterback coach at Arizona State, was the OC and quarterback coach at Colorado, and then took over as the same duties when he got to Oregon in 09. So he definitely seems like he knows this stuff. And I'm not, it's not a knock against him at all, guys. You guys have to understand that. It's not a knock against him. It's just a knock on the next man in line. You know, whoever takes over next, I think that pressure is going to be on them. It just so happens to be him.
Right. That's a good point. I agree with you 100%, T-Will. I mean, we haven't seen eye to eye on a lot of things on this show, but I'm with you 100%. It doesn't matter who that coach was. Even if they looked outside or they looked inside, in-house, out-house, like T-Will said, when a coach move on, and you're going to BCS games, you're winning BCS games, well, guess what? That next coach better go BCS as well. You know, that's the way fans look at it. Well, Joe Doakes did this, so when Joe Doakes Jr. come in, he better do it as well. But But see, Rush, I want to ask you this from a coach's standpoint. You know, because we talk about this pressure for coming in as a new coach when you're in a high-profile situation. But I want to ask you as a coach, see, Rush, would you rather be in a rebuilding situation or would you rather come in and go ahead and take over a top-10 program?
Me personally, I would rather start with rebuilding because it's mine. You know, like Brad Stevens, that was his. You know, he did that at Butler. Coach K, he did that. You know, that's their program. They're always going to be synonymous with that program. So me personally, as a coach, and I take pride in what I build and what I bring. I would rather have my guys, my core guys, to come in, you know, on alumni day 20 years from now, they say, hey, he recruited me, you know, and I played for him, you know, rather than just be a stepping stone because, you know, so some coaches do use schools as stepping stones and they can be here. They stay high and they leave, stay high, leave, stay high, leave. So I just feel personally that I would prefer to be that coach that starts from the ground up.
Now, see, Rush, the reason why I bring this question up is because I always like to hear how people answer this question because, as we know, coaches in America, if you don't get it done, you're gone. You're fired. So that's why I asked you that question is I know that you're big on – I've coached with you, and you love the relationship side of coaching and myself as well. But as we know, if you don't get it done, you might take over a terrible football situation, and you might need 3 full recruiting classes. But as we know, you might not have that opportunity. So, T. Will, I want to throw the same question to you. Do you want to rebuild or you want that top 10 team so you can go ahead and just get that extension right off the bat?
I want to rebuild. I definitely want to rebuild because the reason I want to rebuild, fine, is because when you take over a top 10 team, you know, that means that program is successful, you know, but at the same time, your stamp isn't on the foundation. That means that program already has a foundation that you have nothing to do with, okay? I'm huge on building my own foundation and building from that, okay? You're taking over someone else's success on a foundation that they've built, and you may be taking over a program that don't even run your style of offense. So they may have been successful doing some things that you're not even comfortable doing. So it could be a number of different things. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to take over a great program because it's not. You know, it's a true blessing. And it's a challenge to us as coaches, you know, to, okay, now we say we're a great coach or we think we're a great coach. Let's go take our talents over here and let's see how we can merge these two systems together to maximize our program. So at the same time, guys, I would definitely like to take over a team that's middle of the pack or that's rebuilding so I can build my own foundation and build my program from there.
Yeah, I think both of you guys bring up a good point is because we all can look at this situation. It's very simple, hit close to home. We could just simply look at Rich Rodriguez. I mean, he came in. We had Ryan Mallett, one of the strongest cannons in NCAA football, and he ran him off, and we had a walk-on plan because he wanted his type of quarterback in there. And we all know that was a disaster. And as soon as he got the Arizona job, and I still feel this, I feel like, you know, he will be successful there. It was a bad fit. And I think both of you guys' points, I think it proves to be actual reality because you see that a lot of times, T-Will, a team that's used to winning 10 games, the new coach come in and say, hey, we're doing another system. And then next thing you know, you won 4 games in the first year. And everybody's like, oh, what's going on? Why are you switching things up? And now we begin to question you. So I think that you guys bring up some good points there. So this is the way the rest of the show is going to go. Producer just slid me the card. We spent a lot of time on Riley Cooper. So we're going to hit our freestyle and we're going to hit Johnny Football and then we'll get out of here. But it may be some people that maybe their first time listening and they might not know what time it is. I don't think they know the time. I don't think they know the time. I don't think they know the time. All right, so we're going to start with C. Rush today. He hasn't had a good track record the last couple outings. We had to get a guest on the show to knock T. Will off, so going to hope C. Rush can do a little better today. We'll start with you, C. Rush, and we'll talk about Bill Self, C. Rush. He was actually interviewed, and he said, hey, I just want to throw this out there. You know, I wouldn't, you know, knock off. and I wouldn't sit to the side that I would never coach in the NBA. Now, do you thumbs up C. Rush if you think he was saying that to plant a seed to be contacted in the future? Or do you think thumbs down he was just saying that to leave his options open?
Thumbs up. I believe that, and you're a big advocate on this, you don't know what's in a man's heart. You don't know what his future dreams are. You know, we know he could be at Kansas for the rest of his life, but a lot of people assume that. You know, if we assume that players or coaches are going to stay there, then we'll never know. He's just dropping seeds to other coaches, to other jobs that are opening up maybe next year. You never know what that L.A. job could do next year. You know, that's a huge one. So you don't know who's listening, but people are listening. And, you know, they see his track record. They see the quality and the caliber type players that he's putting in the NBA. So why not put yourself out there and give yourself a shot? So I say thumbs up. He know what he's doing. He's a veteran.
Now, see, Rush said that Bill Self was planting a seed for the future, T. Will. I mean, what you think about this situation, T?
Well, I had to go thumbs down. I really do think that he's comfortable in Kansas where he is right now. You know, it may have been a tactic or a move to maybe get him an extension or get him more money or something of that line. But I just don't think that he really wants to leave Kansas. He's been committed there since he stepped foot in the door. You know, he's always had a successful program and a successful team there. So, I just don't see him leaving Kansas. I mean, it's a no brainer. Just stay there.
Yeah, that was good points on both ends, but I don't know. After reading this quote and hearing C. Rush, I gotta agree with C. Rush. I think he was planting that seed, man. I mean, I really do. I mean, you got Andrew Wiggins coming in, and, you know, a lot of guys, you know, they don't even flirt. You know, a lot of college coaches, they don't even flirt. You know, they kind of just, you know, if they really want to stay there, they just don't say anything. So I think he was trying to plant that seed as well. So let's go on to question number two. And T. Will, we'll start with you on this one. Chris Paul was interviewed, T. Will, and he said the Clippers go as Blake Griffin goes. Now, thumbs up if you believe that statement, or thumbs down if you think Chris Paul was just saying that statement to make Blake Griffin feel better.
Well, first off, I want to give a shout out to the CEO, Chris L. Davis, over at the agency, man. He is over there. He's making things happen, fellas. He is making things happen. I'm gonna have to go with thumbs up. Fine, thumbs up was that Chris Paul believes that Blake Griffin makes it go. Correct.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, Chris Paul does believe that. He knows right now that Blake Griffin is the best player on their team. You know, now Chris Paul makes things happen, guys. He's going to be the the team isn't going to really function without a Chris Paul, but you have to feed that thing to your best player. You know, Blake Griffin is the best player all the way around, and he understands on the defensive end, on the offensive end, you know, they have to have Blake Griffin. You know, yes, if that team minus Chris Paul, yes, I mean, they need them both. But at the same time, Chris Paul, he's very smart. He knows that they need Blake Griffin because they want to win an NBA championship, and they're not going to do it without either one of them. But Chris Paul recognizes that, hey, Blake, we need you at the top of your game so we can win this championship.
T. Will, way to come through. The freestyle round is brought to you by the Chris L. Davis Sports Agency, helping clients with their brand and receive overseas and contracts everywhere. Give them a call or go visit ChrisLDavisAgency.com, please. C. Rush, what you think about the situation? Do you believe the statement?
No, I don't. That's thumbs down. You know, for one, Chris Paul is the best player on that team and is arguably could be considered one of the best point guards in the NBA. Two, he needs to give Blake Griffin some confidence after the way Z-Bo beat him to death in those conference playoffs last year. You know, sometimes as a leader of your team, you got to give your soldiers a little confidence. So maybe this is a confidence boost to say, hey, Blake, we need you. You know, we're going to go through him. But we all know that balling starts with the guy who holds it on the string in L.A. It's the reason he's the maxed out point guard in the face of the L.A. Clippers that he is. You know, he's saying that to motivate him, motivate his guys. You know, and that's what good leaders do. That's what great players do. So hopefully Blake feeds into that, but we know where the buck stops at in L.A. You take Chris Paul off that team, you know, they go through Blake Griffin for dunks. They don't go through him to win games.
Wow. I got to be honest here. I can't believe T. Will said that Chris Paul is not the best player on that team. I mean, you automatically lost right there. CP3 is the best player on that team. And I got to take a phrase from you, T. Will. You dropped the ball on that one. And since C. Rush took the first two questions, what we'll do is we'll save this freestyle for, and I won't allow C. Rush to run up the score. So congratulations, C. Rush.
Hey, sometimes you got to 21-zip somebody, baby. Just cut the PlayStation off. Stay humble.
All right, game time. All right, so let's get into our last question and final question of the day, T-Will. We'll start with you. And Johnny Football is in the news again. Now, supposedly, T-Will, allegedly, we want to be clear on that, he was signing autographs for money. People acting like they know all the NCAA rules are very funny on ESPN. They keep quoting the bylaws. There's no way anyone, not even the coaches in NCAA, could know all the rules. I always find that funny when I watch ESPN. They say 12.4-2, like they know all the rules. Even coaches that's been doing it for over 20 years, no way you can remember all the bylaws. But I just, as a former NCAA coach, I just think that's hilarious when I hear that on ESPN. But T-Will, weigh in on this Johnny Football situation, please.
Man, what I see right now, fine. I see a young man really destroying his career before our eyes. You know, they have him on tape on ESPN with one of the guys that he was signing autographs for. They don't have him on tape taking money, but they do have a 9-minute excerpt of him talking to him and letting him know that, hey, if you ever tell someone that you paid me or something, I'm gonna stop dealing with you and all this other stuff. So it's a lot of things coming out of Johnny's mouth in this one situation that's really seems like that he is guilty and he did some he really did some things wrong. I just don't like to see these young men that make these improper decisions. You know, it's tough to sit back and watch, you know, someone that has something going for them, you know, and destroying it. I mean, since the end of the football season last year, since the national championship game in January until now, I mean, this young man has been in the news for several things, social media wise, things about his behavior, you know, at the Manning's camps and things like that. It's tough to sit back and watch, you know, because we see it all the time, you know, see Rush and Fine. We know a bunch of guys on 7 Mile or a bunch of guys on Mac that can ball just as good as anybody in the league, but they made some bad decisions in life. So the furthest they're going to go is Syracuse Park to hoop, you know, so and I just hate to see those things happen because those guys have great talents that the Lord has blessed them with. And they're, you know, they don't get to use them in the realms that they really should be. Now with Johnny right here, now he's been selfish with this incident. Now he puts his team in jeopardy because he may not be able to play this season. And also he puts his professional career in jeopardy because, you know, who wants to deal with this kid? You know, no one wants to draft this guy with all these question marks and all these red flags. And he's just digging himself into a hole that doesn't need to happen if he just makes the right decisions. And it's really tough to sit back and watch these allegations every day. And every day they starting to pull something out that makes it seem like, you know, these things are true.
Yeah, I got some very interesting questions that go a little deeper as well about this situation. But before we get to those, C. Rush, I know you saw it. So give us your take on this situation, please.
It's like T. Will said, it's looking like a kid who's self-destructing in front of our eyes, you know. With great power comes great responsibility. And he's, you know, his dad is even quoted as far as his drinking problems from when he was in high school. So, you know, it's deeper than that. You know, it's a lot deeper than what we see. You know, it came off before as just a young man in college who's living a dream, you know, who's just out here having a good time, you know. But now it's a bunch of stuff that's just going on. It's snowball effect, you know. He's not coming from 7 Mile and Mile. He's not coming from there. His family has wealth. You know, not just money, they have wealth. So him taking money for signing something, it's like, yeah, I can do whatever I feel like doing. So now it's going to take a humbling experience to get him back on track. And like T. Will said, it's going to hurt his team because you know what? The NCAA, right or wrong, they don't like it when you show them up. You know, they don't like that. They take high offense to that. You know, they're gonna try to find everything they can, and he may have stuck his foot in his own mouth after being recorded on tape. So he really has to figure out what his next decision is. And Coach Sumlin, what he should do is say, get off social media. Back when all this started going on, like months ago, just get off Twitter. Get off. Just delete it. Just delete it, or I'm deleting you. That's the thing that, you know, the coach is a little bit to blame in this situation as well. Because you know what? You know what you can say? Delete that, and it's all, we don't have any more problems, at least social media wise, going forward.
Thank you. I don't understand two things, C. Rush. Two things. Why coach has continued to allow him to tweet when, you know, regular people, regular fans, they're going to continue to go at them. Like we said on another podcast, people create Twitter accounts just to go at celebrities and athletes. And the other thing I don't understand is this. Why would his father come out publicly and say, my son has a drinking problem? I mean, maybe he was trying to get him a wake-up call. Maybe that's why he said it. But I don't know. That was kind of weird to me. I don't know why would you want to put that out there, especially the offseason that Johnny Football has had. But T. Will, I want to ask you this question as a coach, not T. Will. Now, obviously, the NCAA is going to investigate. Sometimes they're quick, but more often than not, they take a while. Now, I want to ask you this as a coach, not T. Will. Do you play him until this investigation is over? Because you know if they find him at fault, they're going to suspend him, and they're going to forfeit the games that he played in this year. So do you take that risk and say, man, I got to play this kid?
Oh man, I think you have to play him fine. And the reason I say that is because if they don't find anything, or if they say he's fine, then you sat this kid down and you may have gone out there and went 1-2 or whatever the case may be. I think the NCAA, and are you sure about that forfeiture fine? Because my thing is, I mean, if they haven't ruled him to be ineligible, they'll go back and forfeit his game?
Yes, I'm 100% positive, T-Will. While they're investigating, if you want to play, you can go ahead and play. But if they come to find out that you were at fault, so say, like, for instance, if they suspend you four games, let's say if it's four games, and you played in four, oh, you lost. But say, like, he played in six, then no. You can't do that. If they find you at fault, T-Will, no. It's not like a drug test or anything like that. No, if the NCAA, you will lose those games, T-Will.
Well, you know what? I'm going to sit his butt down. I mean, you know what? He should be sat down anyway, you know. For all the dumb stuff he's done, yeah, sit down. Yeah. We're just going to roll it like that.
No, I agree. I think you have to sit him down. But also, too, T, well, you do bring up a good point. If they find nothing, you start off 1-2. I think you have to sit down and have a conversation with him and ask him, you know, did you do this? And what are they going to find? Maybe he's going to lie and things like that. But I think you can't put the program – you have to put the program before a player, even correct, a Heisman winner. Now, C. Rush, I mean, do you sit this kid or do you say, man, I got to play him?
It may not even come from coach. It may come from the oil tycoons who alumni from there. They may say, man, you playing him regardless. We don't care. So because that third game of the season is Alabama. So you run the risk of, okay, don't play in the first four games because you're waiting, or you play him. Either way, in the eyes of those who really don't know or don't care, if they beat Alabama, they beat Alabama. Just like when USC won, Reggie Bush won the Heisman that year. He doesn't have it right now, but he won the Heisman that year. We all know. We all seen it with our own eyes. So I believe that it may not even come from the coach. It may come from the pressure of the boosters and everybody else, alumni. Like, man, you playing him whether you like it or not. So, I mean, he hasn't made a hard stance on Johnny Football right up until now, so why make one now?
Yeah, now, I'm going to say this, and I know I'm probably going to get some disagreements from the panel on this situation, but I want to hear you guys' thoughts. I've actually did a paper on this for my master's, and, you know, we talked about athletes getting paid. And one thing that I've always thought, and I really do believe this, I thought college sports was, hey, if you don't want to pay them, but allow them to get sponsorships. Allow them to be on a cereal box if they want to. Take a page from the Olympics. Those guys play for their countries. They run their sports. But if they're allowed to get a sponsorship deal, they take it. So T-Wheel, I want to, because, I mean, signing some autographs, someone's want to pay you for it, you're over 18, everyone else is making money off you. To me, it just don't make sense to me. I'm not saying pay these guys, but why not be on the face of a cereal box in Texas if they going to allow you to?
Well, I could agree to something like that, but, again, you know, I had a big stand on, you know, not paying these, scholar athletes, and I still stick by it. Now, if it's something like the Olympic rule, which I wasn't familiar with, but I just looked into, I can agree with something like that. You know, I can agree with something like that. So, I think they should take it into consideration because, like we stated before in a previous episode, I think someone's going to take further action in the future. Something's going to happen. In 5 years from now, we won't be still talking about this situation because there will be some action taken. And as NCAA, you know, whether they lose money on it or not, they have to make a decision how they're going to handle this thing.
Yeah, I agree, T. I think it's going to get nasty, and I hope I'm wrong, but they're making a lot of money. But see, Rush, I want to get your opinion on this because, hey, I don't think you could. I really don't think you could figure out an equal way to pay athletes, C-Rush. I don't think you could. I think it would be too complex. It would be too complicated. Do, you know, the BCS schools get more? Do the guys that we never heard of, you know, that don't play on TV, that don't get showed on ESPN, do they get paid the same? I think it would be too difficult. But if somebody want to be on that cereal box, you know, I mean, I don't know what Michael Phelps has made off his sponsorship deal, C-Rush, but I'm sure he's made a lot of money off of it. But C-Rush, what you feel about the Olympic format, so to speak?
I actually agree. You know, that's a way of limiting it, and you're still in control of the money. I just went to NCAASportsShop.com, and I see a T-shirt that says, "No Heisman without the man." Now, that's a play on words so much, but it's Johnny Manziel, you know. And when players see that, I was listening to a local sports talk radio show today, and the commentator made a lot of good points. You know, a player going in here and seeing that, it's like, man, I'm gonna get paid to sign my own jersey. AJ Green, a couple of years ago, he did it. He got a 4-game suspension, but he paid the money back, you know. And I believe the same thing's gonna happen with Mr. Manziel. He's gonna pay his money back, and this is going to happen. It's other issues other than that, but you got to find a way to stop this because, you know what, like the guys in Ohio State, they were signing autographs for tattoos, you know, and if somebody's going to pay you for your signature or to be on a picture, I believe that you should get some type of compensation for that if somebody's willing to pay for it. You know, you can't do it on a scale of paying everybody the same. You can't, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying that if somebody's willing to pay me to sign a trading card, then let them get paid to sign a trading card.
I gotta be honest with you guys. If I'm the coach of Texas A&M, here's what I'm doing. I gotta be honest with you, and I'll let you guys weigh in on this. And by the way, I didn't expect to get too agreeant from the panel on my point I just made. I really didn't. I'm actually shocked at that. But this is what I would do, C-Rush, and you know what? When you're talking to Johnny Manziel from coach to player, in my opinion, I don't think you know if you're getting the truth or not. So I think, to be honest with you, it's a complete waste of time to sit him down and say, I think it's a waste of time. Did you do this? Did you not do this? What happened? This is what I think they should do, and I'll be honest with you. They play Alabama September 14th, so I would say, hey, pay back the money. We're going to pay it back, and the institution, as an institution, we're going to spend them 2 games. And to be honest with you, that's what I think they should do instead of letting this linger over the team. Something is going to be done. Like you guys both said, the NCAA don't like when you play games with them. They don't like to be lied to. They do not like to be shown up. Now T-Wheel, I want to, because you coach football as well, so I want to know specifically, how would you, because I don't coach football, but to be honest with you, that's how I would handle it. I would say pay the money back. I don't even want to hear your story. Just pay it back, and we're going to suspend you 2 games and hope that's good enough. T. Will, what would you do?
Well, I would have to actually come up with some type of punishment, and that's self-imposed. Because what I can say about the NCAA is if they see that a university takes initiative and they'll do some self-imposed stuff, they actually look at that. You know, if you sit back and do nothing, then you're pretty much at the mercy of what they want to do. So I would actually, you know, put something out there, you know, hey, pay the money back. We're going to suspend you for the first couple games. We'll bring you back for the Alabama game. You know what I'm saying?
Just, yeah.
You know, coincidentally, we'll bring you back for the Alabama game.
So. I'm with you. And you're right about the NCAA. They like when you step up to the plate. But these teams and these schools, T-Wheel, they sit back and they don't do anything and wonder why they get hit with the hammer. That's the part I don't get, T-Wheel.
Well, you have to be active out here. I mean, you have to be active and you have to see what's going on. You know, so just like Ohio State. You know, Ohio State, if they would have, it's an action that they could have took for on themselves, and they did. I forget what it was. It's slipping my mind right now. But I believe this season they would have been postseason eligible. You know, so I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think you have to be active, and you have to put some, you know, get those wheels spinning, and put something in motion, and go out there and self impose, and just see where, you know, you're at the mercy of the NCAA. You know, once you do something dumb. You know, like Manziel's done, he's put his whole program in jeopardy, because what's going to happen is, and luckily, these coaches got extended last year after they beat Alabama. So luckily, they got a little bit more security, but he put the rest of his team at risk, man, by doing something dumb, by trying to profit off something small. You know, at the end of the day, he's going to have a great professional career if he doesn't do any of this, and he'll have all the money he wants. So just, I don't know, just dumb decisions.
Now, see, Will, I want to make sure we're clear on this, because maybe I don't know if I heard you right, because I didn't know that. So that team in Ohio, they're banned from bowl season this year?
No, not this year. It was last year. They were last year. They were banned from postseason last year.
I was about to
but
say
it, it's something that they could have done if they would have self-imposed that they would have probably been eligible last season. It may have turned out a little differently for them, but, I mean, of course, they're in Ohio, so, I mean.
Yeah, but the thing is, everybody wanted an NCAA Urban to go there, because they would have. I think they would have went even tougher on that team in Ohio. I really do. But see, Rush, let's back it up a little bit. I just want to ask you, you know, because you heard how T. Will would handle the situation with Johnny Manziel, September 14th, I believe that's the date in College Station when they host Nick Saban. So, how would you handle this situation, C. Rush?
That's the only logical thing to do. You know, police yourself, slap on the wrist, get ready for Alabama. Split them first team reps, make sure you beat Joe Doak State and the art school, the Bible College, and get ready for Alabama. I mean, the NCAA, even though you slapped them in the face a couple times, you can save face by paying this disclosed amount of money it was, because, like I said, his family comes from wealth, not rich, wealth. So pay this money back. You don't even just have your daddy write a check and just get ready for Alabama. And it's over. It's over for that situation. But then you never know what he's going to do. That's the other variables that for one, Coach Sumlin has to come down a little tougher on this kid. I know he's the Heisman Trophy winner, but he been running crazy all summer. So, and this happened at the BCS game. So I'm not sure if he was lying to us when he said he just found out about it on Sunday. So did we already know about this, or did Johnny come to him and tell him, hey, this happened a long time ago? I don't know. His track record is not that golden. So to save face, sit him two games, make his daddy pay the money back, and let him play Alabama.
You guys brought up some good points about this, but I think we all can agree you got to be proactive in these situations. You have to be active, and you got to get something done. You got to do some kind of punishment. But you definitely want to be on that field when Nick Saban brings those guys to town. Because Nick Saban doesn't forget who beats him. I can tell you that right now. They lost to LSU one season, then played them in a title game, and they couldn't cross the 50-yard line. And I'll never forget that. That was a terrible game to watch. And but yeah, so Nick Saban doesn't forget. So you better have all your bullets, so to speak, when you're playing Nick Saban. So T. Will, before I close it up, man, what's up, man? I always got to ask you, because I know you said I'd be closing it up too early.
Well, I guess I have a reputation, but I appreciate the courteousness, but Johnny Manziel, man, just you gonna join my Just Shut Up Club with Andrew Bynum.
I agree, T. Will, but I'm like C. Rush on this one. Why is the coach still letting him tweet? C. Rush, man, you good or you want to add something, man?
Nah, I'm good. I mean, that's the thing that got me. I woke up thinking like, man, he in the news again, but you check his Twitter, he just tweet, 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 tweet.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he is tweeting it, and he actually answers people that say negative things to him. He'll tweet you a picture of that Heisman Trophy in a minute and let you guys know. All right, C. Rush, man, good to have you back, man. Good to have you back on American soil, man. You have a good show.
I had a blast, man.
Yes, sir. T. Will, how you feel, baby?
I'm good. I'm good. Man, just real quick, man, about the football gods. Another receiver, Aurelius Ben, you know, down at the Philadelphia Eagles camp, tore his ACL today at practice. I'm telling you, man, the football guys, they know. Chip, they came down on Oregon a little bit, but Chip Kelly is getting it. And I hope Aurelius, I hope he recovers pretty soon. But great show today, guys. And it's nothing like taking a conversation from my backyard patio to the internet.
Hey, that's right, man. That's what we do here at the Wilson Rush Podcast. Search us on iTunes, Wilson Rush. Send us an email, WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com. We always represent 7 Mile, and we appreciate everyone listening. Have a good week, guys. DJ Clips, Rev City, let's go. The Wilson Rush Podcast. With your host, Wilson Rush.